Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's our guest is one of my favorite contributors, Dr. Michael Murray. He's author of the textbook of natural medicine and many books. His website is drmurray.com. And he's also the host of the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit, which is a very worthwhile thing for you to get involved with. And we'll give you some details after we complete our discussion in this part of the podcast. So your book, How to Prevent and Treat Diabetes, one of your favorite subjects, you early on, I think, talked about a lot of the things that now people are buzzing about in relationship to reversal of type 2 diabetes. I mean, that used to be thought, well, you know, take a pill. But you came up with a comprehensive strategy many years ago in terms of how to deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's almost criminal the way that we're approaching many of these chronic degenerative diseases. And that sounds really harsh, but I think it's wrong to tell someone who has prediabetes or type 2 diabetes that they're going to have to take a medication for the rest of their life. That's not true. We know that type 2 diabetes is a progressive disease. It's related to loss of sensitivity to this hormone insulin. We know what the causative factors are, and we can address those causative factors. And if you take away the cause, you address that cause, you can reverse type 2 diabetes. And the biggest cause for most people is they're carrying too much abdominal obesity. These fat cells in the abdominal cavity, they start growing and they reach a tipping point where they start acting like a tumor. And what a tumor wants to do is grow. And so this mass of fat grows by secreting compounds that block the action of insulin. And insulin is the hormone that we need for proper blood sugar control. And if we start blocking that action of insulin, then glucose, blood sugar can't get into cells, other nutrients can't get into cells. So the brain thinks it's starving, and so it leads to loss of proper appetite control. And with type 2 diabetes and elevated glucose levels, you get a lot of inflammation, you get a lot of pain, you get a lot of cellular dysfunction. So it's not a good situation. We got to reverse it. And what we're learning is that the drugs just they don't provide the benefits that they are kind of position to provide. They don't really alter the true progression of the disease. And type 2 diabetes is something that is avoidable, and it's something that we just don't want to have. We don't want to have it because it leads to a lower quality of life. It's not just that it reduces your life expectancy because of a higher risk for heart disease and cancer and other serious causes of death. It also increases the risk for dementia, and it's associated with just a lower quality of life because it's a physiological chaos that occurs when we don't have proper blood sugar control. And to think that that's going to be reversed by taking a pill, it's just not realistic. It's a condition that owes its origin to diet and lifestyle, and that's where the treatment should focus on. And we're not going to find a pill that's going to provide the benefits that lifestyle and nutrition and proper supplementation can provide for people with type 2 diabetes.
Have you evolved in your own dietary approach to this condition? Because I think I shared with you my own personal evolution from advocating a vegan diet or macrobiotic diet for many health problems, and which was trendy, I think, when we both got started. And I think more and more the evidence among thoughtful practitioners in this field, like yourself, is moving us more towards a paleo model of eating or a lower carb model of eating.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I got caught up in the, you know, rely on complex carbohydrates and all. And I think that diet can work if you're physically very active. But for most people, they really need, I think, to consider even just getting rid of the bread, rice, pasta, and other starchy foods. Focus on the good carbohydrates in the form of vegetables, low glycemic vegetables, and a couple of servings of fruit a day. So yeah, I guess if you want to call that paleo. I've always promoted eating the right types of fats. There's been kind of a resurgence in the importance of fat to the human diet, but that's always been kind of a key area of focus for me, making sure that you get the right types of fat, which basically means eliminating too much of the saturated fat from the diet, reducing the level of omega-6 fatty acids that we get from processed foods, as well as some of the vegetable oils that are common in use, such as soy, safflower, sunflower, and corn. Getting more of the good oils in the form of the monounsaturated fats that we get from nuts, seeds, avocados, olive oil, and then, of course, getting those long-chain and short-chain omega-3 fatty acids that we get from fish oil supplements, and flaxseed oil.
What about supplements? Now, you mentioned in part one, listeners can go back to that, PGX for treatment of insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes. What are some of the other supplements that you might advocate?
Well, I think that everybody should be taking a few things just from a foundational approach. Everybody should be on a high-potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula. That'll ensure nutritional insurance that you're getting all those key essential micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. I also think
And diabetics might have a higher requirement. You know, maybe an ordinary person who's in ideal health, you know, perhaps they could get away with just a good diet or less. But, you know, those people are few and far between.
Right. Yeah, and we know that in people with type 2 diabetes, they have multiple nutrient deficiencies. Diabetes mellitus, that's the fancy name for diabetes. It translates to basically urinating freely, and that's one of the symptoms with diabetes. And with the frequent urination, there's a loss of all the water-soluble nutrients, so not just your B vitamins, but also minerals, particularly magnesium. So low magnesium status is a very common occurrence in diabetics. So I think a high-potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula is an absolute must. With all the research on the importance of vitamin D that's come out, I also recommend 2,000 to 5,000 IUs of vitamin D a day. I think taking a good high-quality fish oil, 1,000 milligrams to 3,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA each day is a good idea. And I also recommend taking some sort of plant-based antioxidant. This can be a flavonoid-rich extract like grapeseed extract or pine bark extract, or it can be a specialty plant-based formula like a greens product, spirulina, chlorella, wheatgrass juice. It could be something more specific for anti-inflammatory effects like a good curcumin product like Theracurmin. So there are a number of different choices that we can throw into that category of a broad spectrum plant-based antioxidant. But I think those four things, a multiple, extra vitamin D, extra fish oil, and a some sort of broad spectrum plant-based antioxidant are very important. In terms of what we can do for people with type 2 diabetes, beyond those things, there's a lot of choices, and there's a lot of research coming out on a substance called berberine. This is a yellow alkaloid that's found in golden seal and barberry bark and coptis. These are famous herbal medicines. Berberine has been shown in over 27 double-blind studies now to lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and improve blood sugar control in type 2 diabetic. If you look at that triad of benefits, there's no drug out there for those three conditions. People would have to take three different types of medication, but berberine has been shown at just 500 milligrams twice a day to be effective in lowering blood pressure, lowering cholesterol levels, and lowering blood sugar levels in people with type 2 diabetes. So It's one of the, I think it's one of the fast rising stars. Again, the source of berberine are these traditional herbs, and these medicines have been used around the globe for a lot of different applications. But we're going to see a resurgence. I think berberine is really set to be a superstar in the herbal medicine field in a very short period of time. Why? Because this research is accumulating rapidly, because it's unique. That's the thing about these natural products, as you well know, Ron. They exert multiple sites of action, and so berberine works in multiple ways to show benefit to these conditions that we associate with modern times: high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes.
You wrote a companion book, which is How to Prevent and Treat a Cancer with Natural Medicine, a few years back, and you must be pleased with the progress of research that shows that many of the things that you recommended in that book are actually going mainstream. The notion of chemo prevention is now becoming popular, as opposed to chemotherapy, chemo prevention with nutraceuticals. So what are some of those promising nutraceuticals that are on your radar screen?
Well, I just think that it's fantastic to see so many physicians, including oncologists, waking up to the importance of human nutrition in helping conventional medicine work better. It's important. We have to change the whole environment in helping someone beat cancer, not just, you know, try and target those specific cancer cells. Cancer is usually a systemic condition, and it has many nutritional and metabolic considerations. We really need to offer the best prevention of this condition instead of trying to find heroic measures to cure it. It's a much easier condition to prevent than cure. We've all heard that old adage: an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In the case of cancer, an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. Because trust me, you don't want to be going through conventional cancer therapy. It's no fun. So, what are some things that we can do to prevent cancer? Again, it comes down to diet, lifestyle, and proper supplementation. I think that if people would just hit the goal of eating 5 servings of colorful vegetables a day and 2 servings of fruit a day, that would go a long way in reducing our cancer risk. A serving is defined as 1 cup uncooked or 1/2 cup cooked. So 5 servings of vegetables, 2 servings of fruit. I'd like to see the mix 50-50 between raw and cooked. There's some compounds that are absorbed better after the food's been cooked. There's others where they offer significantly greater benefit in the raw state. So if you eat about 50-50 raw and cooked fruits and vegetables, I think you're going to be better off. So that's just a simple dietary recommendation. And I think one thing that I would tell people that I really encourage is to spice things up. We're learning how important these herbs and spices are to human health. A lot of your listeners are familiar with curcumin, which is a yellow pigment of turmeric. But my gosh, there are so many other compounds and spices and herbs that we can really take advantage of. We just got to add them liberally into our diets and take advantage of these concentrated sources of, like you said, chemo preventers, compounds that prevent cancer.
And finally, so reflect a little bit on your career path, because you made what was a kind of an unconventional career choice in the day, because naturopathy or naturopathic medicine wasn't that well established as a profession. So reflect back on the progress that you've seen on the field. You were actually one of the moving forces behind one of the top naturopathic universities in the country, John Bastyr College in Washington State. So are you happy with the results?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been fun. It's anyone in this field for more than 20 or 30 years is certainly seeing an acceptance of concepts that, you know, 30 years ago were just poo-pooed and just not taken seriously. And they were so self-evident. I mean, the American Cancer Society came back, you know, it came out 40 years ago and said that, you know, diet had very little impact on the development of cancer. Now we know that about 95% of all cancers owe their origin to diet and environmental factors. And that's a huge change. And we've seen things that were once just, you know, kind of stuck in the health food stores become mainstream, whether it's salad bars or whole grains or tofu or juicing. Or, you know, you look at some of the trends for healthier living and healthier eating. They really started in the health food industry, and now they're universal. I looked at McDonald's has a new restaurant. They're testing it out in Hong Kong. It's called Next, and it's basically a natural food, fast food Wow. restaurant. So even someone like McDonald's, who's seen a drop in their business activity in the last few years, they're seeing the need to change with the times. And we're going to start seeing more and more changes. We have to. We have the statistics just came out this last week on the rate of obesity in the U.S. and it's these are just staggering numbers. The especially for certain racial groups, it's just unbelievable. Let me just give some of these statistics. Sure. 45% of black females over 20 are obese. That's over half. And obesity means, for a 5'4" woman, that she weighs 40 pounds above her ideal weight. So I'm not talking about someone being 5, 10, 15 pounds overweight. I'm talking about someone being, you know, 40% over their ideal body weight. So let me give you some other statistics. Overall, 30% of adults in the U.S. are obese, but I mentioned the black females, they were the highest, 45%, black males 35%, Hispanic females 34%. It's just staggering. We have to change this tide, and the only way we're going to change this tide is for people to make some fundamental changes in what they're eating. And they're not going to do it probably consciously. It's going to be something that we've got to help them kind of migrate towards. And I think we talked about PGX. That's something that we found. We found that if we could take care of people feeling hungry all the time, if we could help them feel satisfied and promote satiety, that they started unconsciously making healthier food choices. So we got to really focus on this as a country. I know we got a lot of issues. We got global warming. We got an election coming up. But you know, when I look at the biggest threat to America, I think it's this obesity epidemic. Because we're just eating ourselves to death.
Right. It gives a new meaning to the concept of inequality, or the haves and the have-nots. And we're not talking about starvation anymore. We're talking about people who possess the keys to good health, who adopt healthy lifestyles, versus the people who turn their bodies into amusement parks, and you know, and don't have the consciousness which will help them avert disease. So we're both on this.
You know, we talk about we haven't even touched on lifestyle. It's just really sad if when we start looking at the activity level most people that are obese don't have more than an hour of exercise or physical activity of any sort in a week, and that's just not associated with good health.
Indeed. All right, so what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? Let's remind our listeners about this great opportunity they have to join the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit.
Yeah, the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit is a free event. People can go to my website, drmurray.com. They can go to naturalmedicinesummit.com. They can learn more about it. We have over 30 health experts that I interviewed, including Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it was just a great pleasure for me to interview all these experts, and they all had valuable information to share. And they're all offering free gifts or other offers to get people into their community. And this is a great opportunity for the public to find the guru or mentor or guide to help them change their life that they really resonate with. So I encourage people to get to the summit.
And apropos of our conversation about the problem of obesity in America, we're offering a free premium Taming Your Addiction to Food as part of the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit. We kicked it in, even though it's a $19.95 or $29.95 value. You can get it for free as part of your swag bag premium gifts that you're going to get if you join the summit. All the practitioners are kicking in a book or a link or something that normally they charge for. So I want to thank you very much for joining us, and I want to also congratulate you on a very, very prolific career and really having an impact on the natural medicine community and on so many people through your work. So we're certainly a mutual admiration society.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's guest, Dr. Michael Murray. Check out his website, drmurray.com. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.